WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. What if we could block a protein to stop runaway cell division? Dana-Farber laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
And now to that call-in, your stories of political conversations at your Thanksgiving table from the past. Do you remember the holidays through conversations or arguments about politics? Call in with your old stories, 212-433-WNYC. Then later in the show, we'll ask what conversations you're looking forward to or dreading tomorrow. But right now, we want to hear about those conversations about politics past at your old Thanksgiving dinners. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And I would love to hear from anybody who thinks you have the furthest back memory in this regard. 212-433-9692. And obviously people will be talking about the election this year. People will be talking about Sandy this year. There were things that happened near Thanksgiving in the past that we looked up. The Kennedy assassination was just before Thanksgiving, and the Jack Ruby shooting of Lee Harvey Oswald 2 days later. Thanksgiving was just 4 days after that. The Verrazano Bridge opened just around Thanksgiving time in 1965. Staten Islanders caught up in Sandy. Do you remember showing up at Grandma's house and telling the tale of taking the brand gleaming new bridge to get there? We asked this question on Facebook over the last day about conversations from Thanksgiving's past, and Eric wrote, I remember talking to my father-in-law at least 2 years ago after Thanksgiving dinner about U.S. unemployment. He said it would recover like it always had, and I said we might never recover. Did you see? Well, we all seem to remember conversations around the Thanksgiving table that had to do with the Iraq War. How about the Second World War? Did you ever debate at your Thanksgiving table whether we should go in? Or how about September 1945, the end of the war, not that long before Thanksgiving? Vietnam War. Tell us your story of a conversation you remember from Thanksgiving that shapes the way you thought about some news event or what it meant to your family. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We'll take these stories right after this. What are some of those political conversations that you remember from Thanksgiving's past? Tina in Maplewood, you're on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. Hiya, Tina.
How are you, sir? You were asking a question about how far back can you go?
Uh-huh.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, I was born in 36, and I must have been about 9 or 10. My father and his first cousin got into it at the dinner table. It was Thanksgiving time. And they were debating about President Roosevelt. I believe he's the one that passed the Social Security Act.
Correct.
And so the cousin to my dad kept saying it wasn't going to help black people, blah, blah, blah. And my father was saying it was going to help everybody. And they got into it so strong that my mom had to suffer. And it was almost like they were going to fight. Do you know he actually died? The cousin died. They never was good friends after that at all. He never was invited no more, or he never came back to the house no more.
How about?
And I thought that was something to tell because I was a kid. And I'm now 76 years old.
That is some story, Tina. Thank you for starting us off with it. Wow. And we'll see if that's the oldest one that we get. But, yeah, this is why people dread these conversations, right? And kind of tiptoe around them. I'm not going to really talk to that uncle this year. I'm just going to go watch the football game. Two brothers who didn't really have a good relationship after that debate. Bill in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bill.
Hi there. Hi. My conversation with, I was 7 years old in 1960, and we were talking about why almost everyone on my block, these were all black people, had voted for Nixon because the Democratic Party was controlled by the Southern Democrats, and they believed that Kennedy wasn't going to push civil rights. And it was a total reversal when Johnson came in and pushed civil rights. And one other note from your previous caller, you know, in the states, the Northeast and states that were safe states for Obama, we were totally ignored. There was no political advertising. Right. I only got one mailing piece.
Right.
So I think that was Romney's detriment, that he didn't solicit, you know, he wrote off so many groups, Hispanics, blacks, and liberals, that he wasn't left with anything other than the Southern conservatives.
Bill, thank you for your call. Mary in Croton-on-Hudson, you're on the air. Hi, Mary.
Good morning, Brian. Happy Thanksgiving.
And to you. What do you remember?
My story involves, at the time, the 1963, I was living on an Air Force base in Lyon, France. It was a reconnaissance Air Force base. And I have two quick comments. One is about the pilots on that base. The American Air Force pilots are just unbelievable. We talk about the Navy SEALs. Now I'm talking about the pilots. I'm sure we can talk about all the other veterans, too. But at this time of year, it's very important to remember them.
Yes.
They are very, very special men and women. And the second point is that at that year, that's November, was the year that President Kennedy was shot and killed. And we were at that time, we were at a dance, the night that he was killed, we were at a dance, and all the music just played for about 2 minutes afterwards, and then it just stopped because nobody felt like doing anything when we realized what had happened. And the big discussion, of course, was that and what was going to happen to the country with President Johnson, but also whether China should be accepted into the United States trade programs at that time. So China was still an outlier to us, and so it was all a very, very changeable time in 1963.
Thank you very much for that story from 63. And Anita in Manhattan, you're on the air. Hi, Anita.
Yes, hi. My story is how the Vietnam War kept me away from the Thanksgiving table, because as a senior in college and a leader of demonstrations and whatever, I mean, I knew that it would just be horrendous.
So you didn't even go. You found an excuse.
I avoided it, and I am now facing going to a Thanksgiving dinner where I'm terrified of conversations about Israel.
Anita, thank you. And we'll have a separate call in next hour about the conversations that you're looking forward to or dreading tomorrow and advice for handling them. Jeff and Muncie, you're on the air. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning.
What do you remember?
I was recalling arguments around the Thanksgiving table at the homes of some of my relatives maybe 20, 25 years ago as I was sort of getting involved as an evolving historian about the lives and times of David Ben-Gurion, Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower. And I have a work I'm going to be hopefully publishing soon and a set of motion pictures that I hope
to. So this is about the role of FDR with respect to Jews during the Holocaust?
Right.
And what was the debate? What was the debate at Thanksgiving?
Well, basically, many Jewish relatives of mine would quote from books like, about how 6 million Jews died and a variety of other sources that evolved in the 60s, not knowing the full efforts of FDR to try to help Jews, particularly focused on the secret plan that he had with Winston Churchill.
And, Jeff, we will leave it there. Let's see if we can get one more in here. Kim in Kew Gardens, you're on the air. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. My story is from, I can't remember exactly when it was. It was around five. There was an affirmative action suit against the University of Michigan by a white woman who was suing them, and I was hosting Thanksgiving. And at Thanksgiving was my mother, who's a little, who's very conservative, a little right of Attila the Hun. My husband, myself, and a friend who was in management for the city were all liberal. And my mother, there, it started getting into it about affirmative action, and it was so awful. I was in the kitchen, and my husband, who went to the University of Michigan and is Hispanic, and went and on a full scholarship and was afforded that luxury because of affirmative action, was screaming, and he's not like this at all, screaming at my mother. My mother was screaming back, and my poor friend who works for the city was trying to, referee
We're out of time, but everybody is cringing right now, and so many people are identifying. What can you say in 5 seconds how you broke the tension, or did it?
It didn't break the tension. I came in and said, that's enough. No more politics.
And that's where we have to leave it. Kim, thanks to all of you for your calls.